John chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. Let us stand, if you would, please. And Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him. And he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. When they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. And when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman, and said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Have no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that our past is indeed our past, and that we can begin afresh even today with a new heart and a new attitude and a new desire. We ask, Lord, now that you would bless this service. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. We find here in John chapter 8, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. Quite often he went there to pray. I'm coming down here because it's cooler. You know what they say, that for every foot you're higher than the floor, it's a degree higher, so it's 2.5 feet taller there on the platform than here, so it's 2.5 degrees warmer up there, plus the lights, plus all of you are staring at me. But Jesus went into the Mount of Olives to pray. Do you think if Jesus prayed, we should pray? That'd be part of our life, right? I agree. And it says early in the morning. What does early in the morning mean to you? Now, for some people, early in the morning means 5 o'clock. For some of you, early in the morning means 8 o'clock. For some of you, early in the morning means 11 o'clock. But early in the morning, he came again into the temple. Jesus spent a lot of time in the temple. He spent a lot of time where the Word of God was proclaimed, even though many times they twisted the Scriptures to fit their desires, and many times that even happens to us today in some churches where they twist the Word of God to fit their doctrinal beliefs. And it says, all the people came unto him. Can you imagine what it must have been like to actually have had Jesus Christ as your preacher? Can you imagine as he taught? The Bible said tells us that they came back to the leaders after they had sent people to arrest Jesus, and they came back and said, no man spoke like this. When Jesus talked, I believe it was at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, they said that he spoke with authority. This carpenter spoke with authority. Nobody spoke like this man before. How many of you remember watching Mayberry? And the what was that? Andy Griffith show. And do you remember the episode where Andy sends Barney out to tell the people who were selling illegally to move along? And they didn't want to listen to Barney. And he came up behind Barney and he just stood there, and the people that were selling the vegetables illegally put the things on the truck and drove away. How many of you remember that episode? I've always remembered that episode because it reminds me that some people can say something and some people, all they have to do is stand there. Right? Yes. I think when Jesus spoke, it brought people to a point of decision. Either I accept what he says, or I'm going to find some reason not to follow him. And I believe that even today there are those people, they will either accept the word of God or they'll find some reason not to believe the word of God. There's only those two choices. You either believe what he says or you don't believe what he says. And it says here that he sat down and taught them. He taught them. Brother, how long were you a school teacher? 37 years. You taught a lot of people. Did everybody listen? Were there sometimes people were drawing pictures or making notes? Never. Yeah. Yes. You know, I know this, that teachers know that there are some kids that they may not be listening on the outside, but on the inside they're listening. And that there are some kids, it doesn't matter what you're teaching, they're somewhere 1,000 miles away. That was me. I was always somewhere else. And so if you're somewhere else as I teach today, I totally understand. And you're going to go and you're going to leave and someone's going to say, well, what did the preacher talk about today? And you'll say, I don't know, they sang a song. And I know that. And not everybody listened when Jesus talked. But it says in verse 3, and the scribes and Pharisees, the religious leaders, they were constantly trying to find a reason to get a position where Jesus, in their opinion, had made a mistake. They wanted to have a reason to play him down as the villain instead of the one that sought victory. And it says here, they brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. Now, we all know what adultery is. In the Bible, there are two sins when it comes to sexual sins. There's fornication, that of someone who isn't married, and adultery, that is someone that is married. So you can actually have someone committing fornication while their partner is committing adultery. Or we can have two having fornication and two doing adultery. Now, we know that in today's society, we want to act like there are no sexual sins. And so this is what we have today, but that's not what the Word of God says. So we have man's opinion and we have God's opinion. Would you agree with that? We have man's opinion. We have God's opinion. Do they battle against each other? Yes. And you know that one of the things that happens is simply this, is it's wrong for someone else, but it is not necessarily wrong for me. A lot of times people have, what do we call that? Convictions by convenience. But the fact of the matter is, the Word of God is true. Adam was told that this is your wife and you will what? Cleave unto her. You will cleave. You will hang on tight. That is the one. That is the one. And it says here that she was taken in adultery and she was set in the midst. Now as I'm studying this, I'm thinking to myself, what is she wearing? If she was actually in the midst. Now, we're adult people in here, and so I hope I don't embarrass any of you, but maybe they gave her time to put her robe on. Maybe they allowed her enough time to put on a sheet. Or maybe, just maybe, they brought her half naked. Who knows? But they bring her to Jesus. And there's a reason they're bringing her. Number one, to shame her, but they're trying to find something against Jesus Christ. It says here, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery. How? In the very act. She was performing adultery. Now, someone has said, well, where is the male? That's a good question. We have two options. Number one, they didn't bring him at all. Is that right? Hello, is that right? No. Or they did bring him, but he, being stronger, was able to escape. I don't know which one you want to follow. I don't want to play the fact that they only were chauvinists and only brought her. I heard someone say something, but that's all right. We'll move right along. Well, we find that only she has been brought. Someone has well said, it's interesting, they knew where to find her. They knew where she was. Gentlemen, we must be careful. Women, are you going to say amen? Gentlemen, you that are husbands, you that are young men, you need to be careful. Things are more open now than ever before. I was at the grocery store last night, and I'm thinking to myself, you are at the grocery store. Why are you dressed like that? See, what is happening? We live in a society that has thrown out all the rules. Girls today at the age of 10 and 11 or 12 are taught how to dress to seduce men. And if you teach a girl how to dress at 10 or 11 and 12, how to seduce a man, what is she going to look like when she's 16, 17, 18? What are we doing in today's society? You know, we talk a lot about child... what do they call it when you hurt some kid? Not molestation. No. Child abuse. We talk about child abuse. I believe there's a lot of child abuse that we don't consider child abuse. Secondhand smoke. Secondhand smoke is child abuse. Did you say it? Do you know that if you allow your children to watch TV programs that they shouldn't watch, that's child abuse? If you teach your children to dress improperly, that's child abuse. We have a lot of child abuse today. Children are innocent. Who makes them so that they become, act wrong? Adults. Adults. We have to be careful. It says here, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. So I take you to the book of Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10. And it says, and the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Again, I take you to the book of Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy 22:22, if a man be found lying with a woman married to a husband, then they shall both of them die. Both the man that lay with the woman and the woman, so that she, so shalt thou put away evil from Israel. God said it shouldn't happen. You know, God's word sometimes can be hard, can't it? A lot of times we want to say, well, boy, you guys can't have any fun. Let me ask you a question. Do you think adultery hurts anybody? I heard a few yeses. I'm going to ask you again, if you really believe it, don't whisper it. Do you believe that adultery hurts people?
Yes.
Yes. I know this, that in one of the families that, well, that I married into, there was adultery, and the wife never slept with her husband again. What type of influence did you think that had on the family kids, the kids? You think it was good?
No.
Adultery hurts. It hurts a lot of people. I don't care what television programs show you. I don't care what the magazines tell you. It hurts. Remember a few years ago, there was a movie that came out entitled Titanic? I didn't see it. But apparently in the movie, there was a married woman and a single guy. And from what I understand in the movie, by the end of the movie, the married woman and the single guy had slept together. They interviewed women as they left the movie theater, asking them, did you want her to sleep with the guy? And the overwhelming answer was yes. Yes. The fact of the matter is this. Oftentimes, we are moved by things that we see and we are emotionally driven. Who's behind adultery? God never would be behind it, would he? He would never be behind it. Do you know the Old Testament law that said that you were to kill the adulterer and adulteress also said to stone the rebellious child? Wow. Now, we are never told that in Israel they ever stoned a rebellious child. We're not even told that they stoned other people for adultery. They may have. But we see that they said to him, you need to tell us, Jesus, what to do. Verse 5 says, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. They wanted to accuse Jesus of something, and someone said, hey, you know there's so-and-so over there, and I bet we could find her doing that which is wrong, and we'll bring her to Jesus, and he will look at her. And why is it that men sometimes get moved to do dumb things around pretty people? Do you think that happens?
Yes.
That sometimes a guy can do the dumbest thing around a pretty girl. And girls can do the dumbest thing around a really handsome guy. Why is that? Because we see the outside, don't we? We don't see the inside. Yes. I'm not sure what you said, but I'm sure it was good. It says here, verse 6, this they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Now, he's not ignoring them. He's answering them. They don't think he's answering them because he's not using his voice. But he is answering them right now. He is answering them. Verse 7, so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone, or first cast a stone at her. He says, if you're innocent, have at it. Basically what he's saying, isn't it? Let the first one, or let you that are innocent, you be the first one to cast the stone. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being what? Convicted. Does the Word of God convict us? Let me say something. If the Word of God does not convict us, it's for one of two reasons. Number one, we're not born again. If the Word of God does not convict us, we are simply not born again. Or number two, we have so seared our conscience that we are able to ignore the moving of the Holy Spirit. See, the Word of God should convict our hearts if we are born again believers. But if it doesn't convict us, there's a reason. And it says here, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. What do you think he wrote? Now, I'm not really asking for you to respond. I'm just asking you to ponder it. What do you think he wrote on the ground? Let me tell you what I think he wrote. I think that there were X number of people there. 10, 12. I mean, how many do you think brought her to Jesus? 8? 15? 26? We don't know. There were scribes and Pharisees. But they brought her to Jesus. And let's say, give me a number. 12. There were 12. 12 men bring her to Jesus. What is Jesus writing? Let me tell you what I think. The oldest man, let's name him what? Levi? There are 12 men. Levi's the oldest. I think this is what he did. Levi. And then he wrote a date. He wrote a date. And when Levi saw his name and he saw the date, he said, he knows. He knows. He knows that I had the wrong thinking. He knows that I did something. He knows that I was not right. And Levi left. I think that Jesus wrote down the next nickname. And let's say his name was Peter. They say, well, Peter was a disciple. Well, Peter, not that Peter. The Peter that brought this person to Jesus. And I think he wrote Peter. And I think he wrote a date. And Peter saw his name and he saw the date. And Peter got red. You ever get red? You ever get embarrassed? I hate the fact that I get red. I hate it when people say, ah, you're embarrassed. I didn't want to embarrass you. And I think Peter turned red. I think Peter left. I think the next man's name was written down, and the next man's name was written down, and I think he wrote all 12 men's names down, and I think he simply put a date. And they all left. Maybe it was someone who had actually been with this very woman. This very woman. Let's continue reading right to the last. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Jesus said, not going to condemn you. How many people did it take to condemn somebody? Three? Two or three had to bring an accusation against the woman. Did Jesus know who she was? Absolutely. And it didn't matter how pretty she was. It didn't matter what she looked like. Jesus wasn't influenced, but he was one. All the other accusers had what? Left. But it then says, go. Does verse 11 end at the end of the word go? It doesn't. He tells her, go. If I were to ask you, is there anybody in this room that has never sinned? I want you to stand up. We have all sinned, right? Does God categorize sin? Do we categorize sin? We do. We say certain sins are worse than others. But in God's eyes, sin is what? Sin. He said, go, and what did he say? Sin no more. You know, there are some counselors, even some in the so-called Christian realm, that say, oh, you know, you've had a rough life. I mean, you were abused as a child, or you had someone mistreat you, and this is going to take a long time for you to get over it. And they make excuses as to why someone continues in sin. Jesus simply said to this woman, go and sin no more. May I say this? We have a forgiving God. Aren't you glad? I'm glad we have a forgiving God. He's willing to forgive us. He was willing to allow us to have the past in the past, so we can go forward with a new life. Go and sin no more. How important it is that if we have a past, that we leave it back there so that we can go forward. Do you know why I want to tell you to leave it in the past? Because Satan will bring it up again and again. He loves to bring guilt into our hearts. He wants us to feel guilty. He wants us to remember, oh, you slipped up here. Oh, you slipped up there. Oh, look at that. You didn't slip up there once. You didn't slip up there twice. You slipped up there 27 and a half times. That's what Satan does. If you are a born-again, Bible-believing person, your sins are forgiven. And we need to move on. Go and change.